The divine model for the church, looking to the book of Acts. A was its patterns recounted in Acts. B, its expansion related to making disciples. Matthew 28:19, Jesus said, "Go make disciples in all the nations." Discipleship. As the church was expanding, it was about making disciples. Acts chapter 6, verse 7. Then the word of God spread and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly. What do we generally talk about in the church world today? The typical is conversation on numbers is, and the number of church members continued to grow, you know. Church membership. Now, I think you can build a biblical case for having church membership and not having it. And I've heard some good cases built on both sides. Most of the Calvary chapels don't have a formal church membership, but there's no secret to power and glory in that either way. I'm totally comfortable. And when I pastored in Dallas, we had church membership. When I pastored at Calvary Chapel Irvine, we didn't. And neither is a guarantee of blessing, nor is it an obstruction to blessing. But still, the church world tends to talk about members or attendance. What's your membership? Da-da-da-da, you know. Oh, wow. What's your attendance? It's this. Oh, okay. What was your attendance last year? What's your attendance next year? What's your budget? What was your budget? What is your budget? What do you think your budget should be, you know? It's amazing what we focus in on. In Acts, the focus, when it came to people, was on disciples. They're called disciples, and it was about discipleship. The number of the disciples multiplied greatly. Acts 11. Acts 11, 19. Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen when he was stoned traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch. Antioch, the first great Gentile church. Preaching the word. There we go again. Preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists. That is, those with a sort of a Grecian, a Greek culture influence, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, that was what was causing all this, the grace of God at work, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. The word Christian just appears a couple of times in the Scriptures. You know what the most common word to describe believers of the Lord Jesus Christ in the first century and in the Gospels and the book of Acts and all? Disciples. Disciples. The expansion of the church was related to making disciples. Jesus said, go make disciples. Not sign up church members, not multiply pews and fill them, but go make disciples. It's about discipleship. Acts 14, 21 and 22. Acts 14, 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. It's about discipleship. Acts 20, 20. Paul is speaking here in Acts 20 about his ministry. How I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house. Verse 27, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Verse 31, therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. Verse 32, so now, brethren, I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Well, we're talking discipleship here. Paul ministering, house to house, giving the whole counsel of the Word of God, hanging in there 3 years teaching them, commending them to God and the Word of His grace, which is able to build people up as well as give them the everlasting inheritance. It's a picture of discipleship at work. What is discipleship? Well, the call to discipleship was simple. Matthew 4:19, "Come follow me," Jesus said. "Come follow me." Then he added, "And I will make you fishers of men." Discipleship is following Jesus, anticipating that he will remake us as we are following him. Come follow me, I'll make you. What? Fishers of men and everything else I want you to be. You concentrate on following me, I'll concentrate on remaking you. That's discipleship. Following the Lord to be remade by him. What are the terms of discipleship? Luke 9:23. "Then he said to them all, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.'" The terms of discipleship. Let him deny himself. First term of discipleship. You want to follow Jesus? Want to be his disciple? Here's what's involved. No to self. Deny himself. No to the self life. Our basic problem is self. The life we got from Adam that we developed ourselves, it's unacceptable to God. Its righteousness is as filthy rags. The best we could ever do to improve it still would deserve this: hanging on the cross that Jesus died on. That kind of no to self. No to the self life. Self-righteousness, self-will, self-exaltation, self-sufficiency. No to all that. It's called repentance. Change our mind. That's not sufficient. No to self. Then death to self. Take up our cross. Embrace the cross of Christ. Make it our cross. Remember, the cross was an instrument of execution. Only the cross of Christ can render the self life increasingly to an end. And we want that. We want to be dying to self. We want to mortify the deeds of the flesh. No to self. Daily. Death to self. Daily. What's left if you actually confess? Say, no to self, death to self. What's left? Well, in one sense, nothing, because that's the only life you have. But on the other hand, everything is left, because you can follow Jesus for a whole new life. Follow Jesus every day for what's needed. For forgiveness, for strength, for peace, for direction, for transformation. Just follow Jesus. That's discipleship. The invitation, come follow me. The terms, no to self, death to self. The hope, I will make you fishers of men and whatever else I want you to be. The expansion of the early church, the divine model for the church in Acts, shows the expansion of the church was related to making disciples. Disciples. C, the divine model for the church. C, its expansion related to church planting. Church planting. Boy, this is such a big issue. Church planting. Matthew 16:18, one of the greatest promises in all the Word of God. Jesus said, "I will build my church." One of our 8 biblical study seminars, I travel around teaching on the weekends, these 6-hour studies. We have one called "The Church, How Jesus Builds It." It really hits on this subject today and even next week. The Church, How Jesus Builds It. The 6 hours of study start with this promise: I will build my church. Jesus is the builder of the church, not man. We're the instruments. He's the builder. He promises to build his church. The big thing in the church world now is the church, how man is trying to build it. That's the big thing. That's the big movement. Church growth seminars. We do Bible study seminar on the church, but the fun thing is, it's all about the church, how Jesus builds it. It's studying passages like this, how God does it, not how man does it, how God does it among men, if men will let him. Oh, the church world is so up into the church, how man builds it. We've got all of our demographic studies, and we've got all the the big seeker-friendly churches from Willow Creek in Illinois to some in, bunch of them in Orange County. Orange County is becoming like the haven for the seeker-friendly church. Seeker-friendly. There are a lot of synonyms you could bring for that. Seeker-friendly. Flesh-protecting. I better be careful here. My mind's running away with me right now. But I teach a lot on this subject. I'm so burdened. After 25 years of pastoring, getting to know hundreds, maybe thousands of pastors, probably thousands, oh, my heart aches that we get back to the Word of God and the church, how Jesus builds it. How does the church extend, grow, get built, develop? Well, we've already seen it's about making disciples, not adding church numbers, but making disciples, followers of Jesus. Here's another big, big issue. The way the Lord extends His church is also involves church planting. I will build my church. Jesus built into the lives of the early church leaders in the Gospels the things that He began to do and to teach. Acts 1:1 speaks of that. Luke, the Gospel according to Luke, was written all about all the things Jesus began to do and to teach. What is Acts? The things He continues to do and to teach. Jesus is alive. He's still at work by His Holy Spirit. He's still fulfilling His promise. I will build my church. And in building the church, it includes church planting. Acts 9:31 and others. Acts 9:31. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. The churches were built up. Walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. What? The churches. Acts 14:23. So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. The previous two verses we already read about disciple making. Paul went about making disciples as Jesus commanded. But when disciples were being made, they were gathered as the church. And Paul went back around to the churches and appointed elders, leaders in every church, prayed, commended them to the Lord. He ministered first to individuals unto salvation, showed them that was a path of discipleship, and gathered them together as the church. Critical issue. Praise God for anyone who goes any place in the world getting the gospel out so that sinners might be saved. Praise God that any sinners are saved under any ministry that tells the true gospel. But how many are discipling those that are saved? And how many who want to disciple them realize the disciples have to gather as the church and disciple one another? There are a lot of missions outreach ventures around the world that just hit and run with the gospel, and praise God, some souls get saved. I don't begrudge that at all. I say glory, hallelujah. But in many situations, no one's there to feed those sheep and disciple them and let them know it's all about following the Lord every day. And even some have discipleship ministries, and they send people out to do one-on-one discipleship in these homes of the newly converted. But who's gathering them as churches? We've missed something critical. Yes, evangelism is involved, but unto discipleship and church planting. When you look at Acts, when Paul traveled around the Mediterranean world, wherever he went, souls got saved and disciples began to walk with the Lord, and churches were planted as he gathered them, discipled them, even appointed leaders. Acts 15:41. And he, Paul, went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Yes, Paul had a great ministry to people, individuals, witnessing, discipling, but he also ministered to strengthen the churches. Acts 16:5. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. Praise God for any churches, any Christians who have an eye and a heart for the world, to reach beyond their own Jerusalem, to their Judea, Samaria, even to the uttermost parts of the earth. But in doing that, it's got to be unto discipleship and church planting. Yeah, evangelism, discipleship, yes, but we've got to plant the church. We've got to bring believers together as the church. Jesus said, I will build my church, And yes, it includes every believer worldwide born again by the Spirit, but he gathers them together as visible manifestations locally of the invisible worldwide church. It's about church planting. It's not just, hey, we got to get down there on the beach and do a little evangelism. Praise God for anybody who wants to do that. I'm not saying that's bad, but are they going to get discipled if they respond? And if they are getting discipled, who's going to gather them as the church? I mean, that's the book of Acts. It's critical that we have that kind of a vision. The divine model for the church, need to look to the book of Acts. There we'll see its patterns recounted, then B, its expansion related to making disciples, C, its expansion related to church planting, and then D, its essence seen in new wine and new wineskins. Let's look at this issue. New wine, new wineskins. Luke 5. Why are we going to Luke when we said that the divine model is Acts? Because there's a few verses here in Luke that give an interesting description of what God was going to demonstrate in Acts. These verses we're going to read in Luke 5, they're a little concise parable picture of what God wanted to explode in the book of Acts. The essence of what you see in Acts is new wine in new wineskins. Luke 5, 36. Then he spoke a parable to them. No one puts a piece from a new garment on an old one. Otherwise the new makes a tear, and also the piece that was taken out of the new does not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put in new wineskins, and both are preserved, the contents and the container. And no one, having drunk old wine, immediately desires new, for he says the old is better, or the old is good enough. What a parable. Speaks of the essence of what the church is. New wine, new wineskins. Jesus did not come to pour his new wine into old wineskins. What was the new wine Jesus came to pour out? Life in the Spirit of God. Born again of the Spirit, life in the Spirit. Like a heavenly wine, new life from above. He didn't come to offer that to the Pharisees and Sadducees to build into their Judaism, their legalistic religion, their man-centered, human-resource approach to the commands and laws of God. He came to bring new wine, and he was going to have a new wineskin to pour it into. There was an old wine, the law. An old wineskin. Israel, Judaism, their understanding and application of the law by their best effort. Jesus didn't come to say, okay, that's fine, just add this to it. Well, you can tell that would have burst the wineskins. Just being around Jesus blew their minds. Can you imagine them trying to adopt and adapt what he was teaching to where they were? They were in a head-on collision. The church is new wine in new wineskins. The book of Acts, the old covenant of law, in the wineskin of Judaism, with the dead letter of the law, self-righteous Pharisees, and the compromising anything goes liberal Sadducees. The Lord's life and message was not going to be poured out there. In many ways, the new wine and new wineskin is a parable of all kind of church revival movements for the last 2,000 years. It surely fits the Calvary Chapel movement. It's like new wine and new wineskins. I came through Dallas Seminary, 5 years there, getting a good, you know, biblical, dispensational, theological education. At times, some of it was light and life and joy and edification. Other times, it was kind of dead religion like Judaism. Some of it was because of me, some because of the system. Some good truth there, some reality, but it was like old wine. Boy, I remember that night, 1971, my wife and I walk into that little country church on the edge of town. Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. Man, 10 minutes in there burst my wineskin. I couldn't just go in there and grab my hymnal. What page is it? And let me get the beat. And, you know, I'm a pastor. I can handle any kind of church meeting, you know. Man, 10 minutes. There I was again, crying. My heart was broken. Smashed in tender humility. I never saw people worship like that. I'd seen two kinds of worship. By the letter, come on now, sing harder. Okay. I knew how to do that. And I'd seen the other. People bouncing off the rafters. Everyone singing a different song, Woo! I understood both of those, and neither one drew my heart, really. But I mean like that. It's like I wanted to say, oh, that's what it is to worship in spirit and in truth. I always wondered about that verse. It was so simple. It was so real. The Lord was so obviously the object of it and the motivator in it. Literally, just burst my wineskin, the wineskin of my life, the container that I walked in, my thinking, my perspective, how I was committed, where I was headed. Just busted it. Because I wanted to take in that new wine. And then Pastor Chuck got up and taught. My word. I think that night he taught nearly an hour and 45 minutes. He covered two and a half chapters of the Gospel of Matthew, verse by verse, sometimes phrase by phrase. Nobody moved. Everybody hung on every word. I wanted to go home and change the name of our church. We called ourselves Calvary Bible Church, I wanted to go home and change it to something else. Calvary Sermonette Church or something, Oh, I was so convicted. It's new wine. It busts the wineskins. That's what's happening in Acts. Judaism shattered, as it were, before the flow of new wine from heaven, life in the Spirit. And we've looked at it, not weird, not crazy, just real and powerful and relentless and marching on. New wine in new wineskins. In our denominational churches, some are finding a measure of life and real wine from heaven. Real life in Christ. Too many, they're the Pharisees of the day, the legalists. By the numbers, you can do it. Too many are like the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they're opposites, they're antagonists, the liberals. They don't even believe in the word, the cross, or the blood of Christ. Oh, how we need, all around the world, including America, new wine poured out in new wineskins. New bodies birthed by a new work of the Spirit of God. People say, to me, what do you think are the great opportunities in ministry this day? I'll tell you what I think are the greatest opportunities. Pray to go out somewhere and start a whole new work. There's no greater opportunity for new wine to be poured in a new wineskin than that. I've pastored two churches those 25 years. One started in our living room. One started, and then we were brought into it a year later after they lost their pastor. God did wonderful things in both, but I'll tell you, there was nothing like watching it start from the fresh zero beginning and just let God pour out the wine the way He wanted and shape the skin to hold it the way He wanted. Really fits the gospel. Really fits the new covenant. The new covenant of grace, that's what the Lord wanted to bring. Jeremiah 31, the new covenant of grace. Israel had the old covenant of law, and it was becoming death and deadness to all around them. Some let the law drive them to the hope of Messiah. So many became self-sufficient in measuring themselves before the law. But the law was given to drive us to the new covenant of grace. Jeremiah 31:31. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, and I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. The new covenant of grace, in contrast to the old covenant of law, the new covenant of grace, including forgiveness of sins, but it's more than that, also intimacy with God. They all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. And not only forgiveness and opportunity to grow in closeness with the Lord, but an internal work of God changing us from the inside out. Verse 33, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and they shall be my people. I'll be their God, they shall be my people. The new covenant. Hebrews 8, Hebrews 10 says that new covenant is inaugurated for you and me now. That is the covenant, the arrangement, how the church lives, grace. Jesus said, Luke 22, 20, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. We're new covenant servants. We serve not by the letter, but by the Spirit. That's critical because the letter kills. The Spirit gives life. The new wine of heaven gives life to people. New wine and new wineskins, that's the divine model for the church. That's what's demonstrated in Acts. And how it relates to new and old covenant and all that. We'll have a chance, if the Lord keeps you around here, to third or fourth semester. That's what the entire semester Growing in the Grace of God class is all about. The divine model for the church. We want to know what the church is? Here it is in Acts. And its essence is new wine in new wineskin. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your patience with us. Thank you for your commitment to us. Thank you for new wine. Thank you for new wineskins. Thank you for the new wine of life in Christ by the Holy Spirit. New wineskins, the church of Jesus Christ, local churches under the headship of Christ. Thank you for new wine and new wineskins. Give us a vision of that in our ministries. Lord, may existing ministries, some maybe you've lost the vision of that, be rekindled again, to be made soft, pliant, humble, flexible church wineskins, filled again, afresh and anew, with life from above, abundant life in Jesus Christ. Lord, work this way among us, even around the world, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.